It's the perfect season. And perhaps the sweetest premiership of all. And strike around the body. P.S. he loves it.
They've got the chocolates and he might have the chicken.
All right, gather round, gather round. Look each other in the eyes. Put your game faces on and strap yourself in because it's time for the Monday Waffle Podcast.
Welcome to the Monday Waffle, the aftermath of round 12. My name's Andrew Murdoch. You're also joined by the voice who's become famous for that intro, Simon Orchards. Simon, welcome to you.
G'day, mate. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. Big show today. We're going to recap all the results from round 12. We're going to forecast what's going up. We've also got the Monday Rumble. This week's topic is about gambling advertising in sport. Should it be okay? Should we start to move away? You'll find out by the end of the show. We also have the man with the best last name in the waffle as our special guest this week, Matthew Bogensberger from Peel Thunder.
Huge show.
Oh, massive.
When they say bigger than Ben-Hur...
Yeah.
Who was Ben-Hur?
I'm pretty sure he was an old warrior from sort of Greek days.
Or like a physically enormous human, or...
I think he just had a big presence.
Yeah, right. This show's got a huge presence
Yeah,
today.
Bigger than Ben-Hur. And I'm basing that purely on, I think I've seen the trailer for, there was a movie about that. I think it was like the biggest budgeted movie back in the Hollywood days, and that's where that expression came from, maybe.
Oh, right.
So maybe it wasn't about him himself.
Production value of the movie.
Yeah, it was bigger than Ben-Hur.
Whatever it was. Well, if anyone knows, drop us a line in the comments. Tell us, who was Ben-Hur? What was he famous for?
We do our best to get through all of the comments. Obviously, they pile up, so it's hard to get through everyone.
A special person moderating the comments.
Yeah, but make sure that you do, and we'll do our best to get through it. We definitely would. Bit self-indulgent, which we like to do at the top of the show before we get stuck into the action. Congratulations, Simon. You're a father.
Thank you. Cheers.
How's the first 5-6 days of fatherhood treating you?
Yeah, it's been good. I was in here a couple of weeks ago with Matty Fasalis doing the show, and he'd just come off the breakfast shift at 6pr.
Yeah.
And he looked and sounded how I feel now.
Okay.
So tired, can't really read or see or speak too well, exhausted, but I've got the easy job. My wife has done so much more, and she's doing absolutely fantastically. And little girl, Lenny is her name, she's flying. So. Yeah, a really interesting week of my life, but one of the best for sure.
One of the roles I heard that the father has to do during the birth, because there's not too much else you can do, is quickly check the gender before the doctor takes it away to wrap it up. Did you get that done, or did you miss out?
That's interesting you mentioned that. There's a great Simpsons episode where I think Homer's firstborn, Bart, comes out. Or maybe it's Lisa, actually. And Homer says, "It's a boy. And what a boy." And then the nurse says, "That's the umbilical cord. It's a girl." And I literally did the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
Baby fell out and I went, "It's a boy." And then the midwife said, "I think it's a she." But then because you've got to get skin to skin with the baby on the mum, they pushed Lenny into my wife. And, you know, she's covered in towels and blankets and stuff. And no one knew.
Yeah.
I said, "Oh, it's a girl." And she went, "Oh, actually, I don't know." So they had to bury through. It felt like an eternity, but 20 seconds later, she went, "It's a girl." Oh, there you go.
There we go.
So yeah, I stuffed it up, but my primary job was counting the fingers and toes.
Yeah.
That's all I had to do. So five fingers and five toes on each foot and
hand. Okay, good. I'm glad you added on each foot.
On each side. And beautiful. The apple of my eye.
Absolutely. All right, let's get into the show. First of all, around the grounds.
Yeah, we're going to start with... Who are we going to start with? South Freo and West Coast. So West Coast 11-12-78, defeated South Freo 8-9-57. And look, a few people would say this is a bit of a shock result. West Coast haven't had the best year. I think it's fair to say. We've obviously seen some injuries in their AFL team, which means not as much depth rolling through the reserves, but starting to get some troops back on the field. And South Fremantle, I think it's fair to say, have been flying this year. Only the two losses, I think, up until the weekend. And it's an interesting game. They dominated the inside 50 count. They tackled well. West Coast were ferocious in their attack on the ball as well. I think it was 92 tackles to West Coast, 71 to South Freo. So a lot of tackles. And I think maybe had something to do with the wet conditions. But still, that's a lot of tackles for a game. Interesting for West Coast. This popped up a couple of weeks ago. Drew Petrie.
Yes.
Running back around for them.
Absolutely incredible.
And I haven't seen West Coast play in the last fortnight, but I'm interested in the role. And it almost makes me want to go out and catch a West Coast game just to see what role Drew Petrie is playing. And he was a bit shy on, I think it was Roaming Bryan might have caught him a few weekends ago in the sheds of the West Coast game. I said, "What are you doing wandering back out there?" And he said, "Oh, we just need some tall timber." And so anyway, he's back out there. Jake Waterman kicked four goals, so pushing for selection. An interesting one for me is Hamish Brayshaw.
Yep.
So we've heard a lot about, obviously, Angus playing for Melbourne and Andrew playing for Freo.
Great form as well.
But Hamish you haven't heard much about him. But obviously, a premiership-winning team. He's a young guy. He had 11 tackles on the
weekend. The Eagles have blooded a fair few players this year as well, so hopefully he'll be looking to get an insight and getting a look in as well at some stage.
Yeah, I think you're right. And Josh Smith is another interesting one. I watched him play for Collingwood a couple of years ago because he was in my fantasy team. He's an elite runner, but I think he's like an Andrew Gaff light version. Not quite the same foot skills, but the same running capacity. He's a bit of an outside player, but he was fantastic for the Eagles as well. Hayden Schloyth, you know, perennial ball winner. He had 25 disposals for South Freo. And Brock Higgins, the ruckman, 35 hitouts, 9 inside 50s and 22 disposals. So not a bad game for him. We move on to Subiaco and West Perth. And Subi, 13-13-91, defeated West Perth 10-9-69. It was the same suspects for Subi, Andrew. Kyle Horsley, Lachlan Delahunty. And I reckon Kyle Horsley often talked about and has won a couple of Sandover medals, I believe. But Lachlan Delahunty, I reckon, this year, we've seen Josh DeLuca go out of that side and go and join Carlton. He's already a great player, but I think he's risen to a new level, and his disposal counts in the last month or so since DeLuca left have been phenomenal. So one to keep an eye on. For West Perth, Aaron Black, another fantastic game and another name that gets bandied around a lot. Tyler Keitel and Benjamin Delaporte, I reckon, have formed a pretty good ruck combination from the little bits and pieces I've seen. And they're moving in the right direction, West Perth, but just sitting outside the five at the moment with a couple of big games coming up.
But for Subi, obviously, Bo Wardman in his first year in the role, obviously very happy, I would imagine. Had that one blemish where he dropped a game, but other than that, it's looked business as usual for a pretty dominant Subi.
And I think you need to lose a game every now and then because it sharpens you up. You can sort of get away, and good teams will win more games than they lose just because they're highly skilled or they've been in that position before. And we've seen that with the Eagles, I reckon, maybe the last month or so. And we saw it with Collingwood, to be fair. Yeah. They got towed up on the weekend, and it was coming because they'd been pretty poor for a few weeks. So Subi wouldn't mind losing that game. It gives them a chance to probably learn more. I always thought you learnt more from your losses than your wins.
Absolutely. The third game of the round was Peel Thunder against the bottom-placed Swan Districts. Peel had a massive win, 19-11, 125 over Subiaco, which boosted their percentage, and it's the percentage that has now got them in the top five. But to talk more about that game, we're chatting to Matthew Bogensberger from Peel very shortly. Simon, we've got Matthew Bogensberger from the midfielder from Peel Thunder, fresh off a big win over Swan Districts on the line. Matt, thank you very much for joining us.
No worries, thanks for having me.
First of all, that win got you into the top eight, into the top five on percentage. Talk us a bit through the game and how you saw it.
Obviously we had a pretty quick start, got out to, 40-1 or something in the first quarter, and then just sort of continued on from there, really. They kicked a couple late to, cut the margin slightly, but I suppose that always happens a little bit when you're up by a bit. But, good to be back in the five.
Matt, you've got a pretty handy draw the next 3 weeks. I think you've got West Coast, East Freo and East Perth who are all below you on the ladder. Is it important over the next couple of weeks to maybe sort of cement that spot in the top five and look towards finals footy?
Yeah, absolutely. I suppose, all the good teams, you want to beat everyone that's below you, obviously, and then try and knock off the ones above you as well to climb the ladder if you can. So the chance over the next couple of weeks to put a bit of a gap on the people behind us, if we can. But obviously, you've got to get things right and you can't take anyone lightly. Otherwise, you can go the other way pretty easily as well.
It has been quite a hard season for tippers in the waffle because there's been some clubs getting these upset victories, some clubs starting slow and moving through. Who are you finding, say, besides Subi, who are leading the way, who are you finding are the other big threats this year?
Yeah, I suppose early on South were going all right, but of late they've probably dropped off a little bit through injuries and one or two getting picked up in the mid-season draft as well. But West Perth are always seem to be thereabouts. As you said, it is sort of tricky and anyone can knock anyone off on a given week, really.
And Matt, you've crossed over, or you went, you were Subi playing till you were in 2017. Then you took a year off and played in the country, and now you moved back. You moved to Mandurah, so I imagine that's why you wanted to sort of stay close to home and decided to have a go at Peel. How have you found changing clubs and being in a new Waffle environment?
Yeah, so obviously coming from Subi, then going to the country last year was just good for a bit of a break mentally and that, and enjoyed that. And then I've been working in Mandurah for the last 5 years now, so, and built a house down here. So convenient for me to come down here, and really enjoying it so far. Obviously, be nice to get a few more league games in there, but fully expected that it'll be obviously difficult with the Dockers alignment and that. But so far, so good. And all the boys have been really, welcoming and enjoying it.
We're joined by Peel Thunder midfielder Matthew Bogensberg. Now, Bogues, you don't mind if I call you Bogues, is that all right?
That's fine, mate, yeah.
Hey, tell us, I want to know, what's the real difference between country footy and playing in the city? Is it just a matter of getting out there and having a bit of fun and, you know, having a few cans after the game, or is it more serious than that? You just go down there for the cash?
No. I like to always have a few cans out after the game, regardless of what footy you're playing. But I suppose, it's just a little bit less stress and I don't know, time during the week. Once you're playing footy, you're just sort of always playing footy. But in terms of the standard of the competition as well, you just probably find that the talent drops off a little bit. The top sort of half of each team in the country is like a lot of guys playing that could be playing waffle footy and that, but it's just sort of drops off a little bit from there. But so in terms of the standard, that's what the difference is. But I don't know. That's all I've got, really.
That's fine, mate. And what about, I'm interested in the alignment, obviously, with the Fremantle Dockers and how your coach, Cam Shepherd, goes about that. Does your team typically play the same style as Fremantle week in, week out? Are you told, you know, from the Fremantle coaching staff how they want you to try and play to assimilate players into that style of game? Or does your coach and your club go their own way and try and put their own mark on the game?
No, so for the most part, they're trying to filter down the Dockers' style, obviously, to help with their guys that play back and, so that they're getting used to what the Dockers are trying to do. And during the week, one or two of the coaches will come down and help out with our training. So we're mostly trying to incorporate their structures and styles. But obviously, Shep is his own person as well, so he's... puts his own coaching style on it in terms of the way, approaches players and things like that. But in terms of the game plan and structures and that, it's pretty much mirrored to what the Dockers are trying to do.
And someone who's experienced playing at, say, you played in the Waffle before there was set club affiliations, then you played at a club where there wasn't an affiliation but the other two were in the competition. Now you're playing at one where you've got the Freo Dockers side and all the Freo Dockers talent competing for spots. What's that like? What are sort of the challenges and what are also the benefits of that?
Yeah, so obviously being at Subi, obviously a pretty strong club as well. And so it was obviously you appreciated the games you got there because it was a pretty tough team to break into. And so one of the challenges, I suppose, is that's sort of the same at Peel now because obviously it's a pretty strong side and there's not a great deal of positions available each week. But again, that's, makes you appreciate the games you get more and it obviously helps the group out as well, having a lot of AFL talent playing each week, and then obviously just the opportunity to get to play alongside those blokes is a good experience as well.
Absolutely. A few more before I let you go, Bogues. You're from the word I've got from my sources, your house at when you were being the Subi days was a bit of the party house for the boys at the end of the season. But then you mentioned you built a new house in Mandurah and it's got a hot tub, a famous hot tub.
Yeah.
Have you built the confidence to get all the boys around for a few cans yet, or are you still waiting to build up to that moment?
I've had the boys over a couple of times, yeah. Just probably a little bit more protective of the house considering it's in my name and it's my money. Probably was a little bit selfish there and probably didn't treat it as well when it was Mum's.
Yeah, so it's more Scrabble nights rather than big end of season stuff.
Oh, we've had a couple of cracks, but I'd just be a little bit more strict with the behaviour of the boys.
So you kind of crack the whip towards the... Hey, watch that. Coasters.
Hey, Bogues, I'm interested in Hayden Ballantyne. Obviously, we've seen a bit of news about him the last couple of weeks and his horse racing and training and stuff like that. Have you had a little sniff? Are you interested in that side of things?
No, not much of a punter, mainly because I'm terrible at it. And I opened a sports bet account last year just for a group that I was in and yet to register a win, so don't tend to dabble much in the punting.
And on that, our Monday Rumble topic, which you'll hear later in the podcast, is whether gambling advertising should be sort of aligned with the AFL or with sport. Do you have any say on that? Would you take a pay cut to get rid of gambling advertising?
Probably not much to cut. But so I probably wouldn't take a pay cut, but maybe some of the blokes at the top end could. But they should probably cut back on the advertising a little bit because it's a bit hypocritical, some of the stuff you see on TV about it.
All right, and Matt, and lastly, before we let you go, I've got a bit of a treat for you. Can you hear that?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Absolutely, I can hear it.
That's exciting for you.
The first couple of periods I've had today, I've just played it for the class as well, just to really get everyone around it.
So you went along to the game. What is it like being a long-suffering Blues supporter, and how excited is it to get those wins?
Well, that's right. You appreciate it more, especially obviously being at the game was a bonus as well. But it's probably a little bit conflicting. It's probably not great that I'm barracking against potential teammates.
That's
but,
true.
That's just bad luck, really.
Hey, Bugs, before we let you go, talk about your love of Carlton there. Rising star. Is Sam Walsh as good as people are talking about? I'm firmly on the Connor Rosie bandwagon, and even Sydney Stack had a fantastic game playing up forward the other night. Is Sam Walsh the man, do you think, to win the Rising Star this year?
I'd say so. To be honest, I don't watch a great deal of footy, just because typically the weekends I'm either playing or then Sundays doing my own thing, but I'm going to back him in because he's a blue boy.
Yeah, no worries. All right, Matthew Bogie, Peel Thunder midfielder. Good luck for the rest of the season and thanks for chatting to us.
No worries. Thanks, boys.
Into the other games for the round, Simon. So I had a look at the Royals versus Perth. Royals defeated by Perth 11-11-77, where Perth and Royals only had 5-12-42. Friend of the show, Sinkers, Michael Sinclair, who racked up his 100th game earlier in the year, was among the best with 30 disposals. He was the best of the lot for all comers on the ground. Corey Yeo also continued his strong season, as did Clinton Jones. The Royals were inaccurate in front of goal, 5-12. Only that's all they could manage, and that definitely cost them. But for them, Shaquille McKenzie had 29 posies and a goal and a very solid hit out for the 25-year-old midfielder. In terms of ladder position, it means Perth are sitting pretty on fourth, and we know there is a very exciting story coming for them. If they crack into the finals this year, it's the first time in more than a decade, and it's what they're really building to with Earl Spoorling as their head coach there. He's really excited. We chatted to him at the start of the year, and they're the team I'm most excited for coming into the end of the season.
It's a crazy drought, isn't it?
More than a decade in a competition with 10 teams.
Yeah. Like you talk about, you see it a lot in obviously AFL footy, the long droughts for premierships but playing finals and things like that as well. It's a long time to be out of there.
Yeah. So it's really exciting what they're building, and it's really exciting how they've been able to do it. It's really galvanised and got a really strong culture there at the moment. So hopefully they can keep winning in that regard. The other game I had a look at, East Fremantle were beaten by Claremont. Claremont had 10-6-66. East Fremantle 7-14-56. It was quite a tight affair for East Fremantle. These two are at other ends of the ladder. So Claremont are now 8-3, sitting pretty on second, as East Fremantle are 3-8. So they've got their win-losses reversed. The Sharks were 4-12 at halftime, so 4 goals 12, and there was only 2 rush behinds for the entire game. So inaccuracy, again, definitely cost them, which could have been a very big scalp for them. And then Claremont second on the ladder, while East Fremantle are now second bottom on the ladder. And we're also going to have a look at the different grades for the season, which we haven't done throughout the Monday Waffle. And you've had a look at the reserves, Simon?
Yeah, just a quick look at the reserves ladder. So Claremont, obviously you spoke about them in the league, sitting second and playing quite well this year. Great depth at the club, obviously, because they're top in the resis. Haven't lost a game so far. 9 from 9 with a fantastic percentage to boot. Subiaco sitting in second. West Perth, East Perth, and Perth round out the 5. Then East Freo, South Freo, Swans and Peel Thunder. What about the Colts, Andy?
In the Colts, Peel Thunder are right on top. 9 wins, only 1 loss, sitting pretty. 2 games clear of the next best comers, which are Swan Districts. They're second, equaled with West Perth, who are 7-3, 7-3. East Perth also 6-4, and Claremont round out the top 5 with 5 wins and 4 losses. Interestingly enough, Subi and the Colts aren't that strong, whereas some of the other teams are pushing. So maybe it's a sign of development for the next few years, or maybe it's a sign of just an off-season for the Subi Colts, who have been strong in the Colts division. In terms of individual players leading all disposals for the season, averaging 27 a game over 10 games, is Tyrone Hindmarsh, which is a very good season, and Benjamin Golding for Subiaco is also averaging about 27 possies a game. And the waffle season, the waffle W season, I should say.
Yeah, inaugural season. So first one, 2019. Only the five teams going around this year, but Subiaco continuing the trend of being a dominant footy club, 5 wins from 6 games. Claremont sitting in second on 16 points. East Frio in third. Swans in fourth. And Peel Thunder round out the five teams in the first season of the Waffle W League.
Before we head on to the most anticipated segment each week, the Monday Rumble, just have a forecast for what's coming up this weekend. All Saturday games, all at 2:15. We got early game 12:10, Eagles and Peel Thunder. The rest are at 2:10 or 2:15. So Peel Thunder versus the Eagles at David Gray's Arena, kicking things off. Then Claremont take on South Fremantle. Then it's West Perth against the Perth Demons, Swan Districts against the Royals, and Subi against the Sharks. Is there a game that catches your eye amongst those, Simon?
Yeah, there is. There's a couple. Claremont and South Freo, I reckon, will be a great contest. But West Perth and Perth, you talked earlier about that drought for the Demons. And West Perth have been a bit hit and miss this year. But I reckon HBF Arena, 2:15 p.m. Hopefully we get some better weather this weekend and we can see a bit of a shootout between those two sides.
You can catch that one on Sport FM, I'm seeing, and the Claremont-South Fremantle game is the game that's broadcast on Channel 7 this week. It brings us to, Simon, you know what it is.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Safe to say, the most anticipated topic of the week. We talked about the pile of emails, messages, letters that we get sent in every week. It all comes about from the Monday Rumble. People just can't get enough of it. This week's topic, gambling advertising, is an interesting one. Should it go the way of nicotine advertising, which everyone just thought it's bad for you, it's not good for you, we got to get rid of it, or does it hang around and is it okay? Okay, I think we should get rid of it. I think that it no longer has a place in the game. You like the thrill of, say, I know you're interested in your horse racing. You like the fun of the punt.
Mm.
You talk me through what your thoughts on this are.
Well, let me just start. I'll preface it by saying, you know, a lot of the language around gambling, there's a lot of euphemisms which I reckon maybe downplay the significance of it. You know, you talk about having a punt, having a flutter. These are quite light-hearted sort of things, placing a bet. It can be a slippery slope. Let me just say, I'll start with that. And you've seen it with the AFL in recent weeks. Obviously, Jaden Stevenson banned for, 12 games, I think, or a suspended sentence of 10, maybe. And there's rumours floating around. Alan Christensen came out a couple of years ago and said he had to get out of Geelong because it was just so rife. He would walk past a pub and think, that's where I lost 10 grand, or that pub's where I won 5 grand. So it can become a really slippery slope. For me, I think there's still a place in the game for it. And I understand, you know, the AFL is propped up by a lot of gambling promotion and advertising. And even the Jaden Stevenson press conference, I read somewhere last week that it might have been broadcast on the AFL website. And then the next thing after it was an ad for BetEasy or something like that. I just think a lot of the money that goes into the game and making the game better and improving the product and obviously paying player salaries and things like that, part of it has to be from gambling companies. They're an enormous entity. They raise a substantial amount of money each year because, unfortunately, a lot of people do get addicted. But at the same time, people make a choice to get involved in gambling. You don't have to do it. I actually think that players should be allowed to gamble on footy apart from their own games. I don't see the issue in a player from, let's just say, Subiaco going and having a punt on the Claremont-West Perth game. They can't influence the game. They have nothing to do with the game apart from playing in the same competition.
Yeah.
So it's not as if they can jeopardise the result or make it come out in their favour.
Maybe
so,
they could, in the week before, they could play badly, boost the confidence of a certain player, boost the odds.
They could throw the game the week before, I guess, and the odds would inflate and then they can bet on the next week. But you got to remember, these guys want to win.
Yeah.
There might be some players around the edges, maybe, that want to delve down that path. Look, it's a dangerous one, and I found it really hard to side in the Rumble with this side of the story. I'd like to hear your thoughts.
Well, I'm going to take you back to Year 10 economics. I got taught what demerit...
You were awake, were you?
Yeah, I was awake. I had a great teacher, Mr. Henderson, who just... He made it fun, economics. And he taught us about three... There are not three, but they're demerit goods. Do you know what they are, Simon?
No.
Okay, demerit goods are things that don't actually add a lot to society. They're just bad for it. He said, this is what he said. He said there's things like tobacco, smoking. Mm-hmm. He said there's things like pornography. He mentioned that. The way he said it, just that brought a rise in the classroom in year 10, you can imagine.
In more than one way.
Yeah, not just the word, I wouldn't have thought. But anyway, then he said, so smoking, pornography, drinking and gambling. Because these are things that just people spend their income on, they spend their money on, but they don't get anything back, anything good back. It doesn't actually add to the economy except for like the stuff they're doing. It's like, so they're called demerit goods. We saw smoking, it's illegal to advertise smoking now because from what I gather, because it's bad for you and there's nothing.
It can kill you.
Yeah, it can kill you.
Gambling can't.
Drinking can kill you.
Yes.
Still allowed that.
Yes.
Okay, but for some reason, I think maybe because I like drinking beer every now and then, I'll go, yeah, no, it's okay to advertise for that. But then gambling, maybe because I'm not a big gambler, I just think, well, what good does it add at all, you know? And it can kill you. It might not kill you per se, but it can ruin your life.
Yes,
or it can do some pretty horrible things. And look, I don't think I'd be opposed to all three of those things being banned advertising-wise because I don't think it is a good thing. If you want to be an industry leader in terms of society, you don't want to have those things advertised. You don't want to promote those kinds of things. They're not necessarily great. Still do them by all means. But then, so that's where I think the only counter argument, and I'm helping your side of the rumble here.
Yes, I'd like that.
Is you've got to have freedom, and you can't, like, who knows what would happen in a controlled society where it's like, no, you can't advertise for drinking, or you can't advertise. It becomes very controlled and uniform, and then you go in the way of a really controlled society. That's the only counter argument I can think of.
Which is what we've seen a little bit with the crowd control issues of the last couple of weeks. People start complaining, saying, well, hang on, it's our right to go to the footy and cheer, just like it's your right to go to the footy and see the gambling thing on the side of the field rolling around the LED lighting and then jump on your phone and make a quick sports bet. Is it not just a bit of entertainment? Is it? I find that sitting down and watching the footy, and I haven't had a punt since the start of the year. That was one of my New Year's resolutions. Not because I was addicted, just because I thought, I'll save a bit of money not having a bet. So not one bet this year, but I found that watching the footy, it became more interesting and enjoyable.
Yeah.
There was days when, you know, I was fuming that so-and-so didn't kick a goal or a team that was a favourite blew my multi and things like that. But at the same time, I always found, especially with friends, gathering around, maybe going to the track for a day, going to the pub and just having a casual beer with dinner and watching the sport and having a little wager on who's going to kick the first goal was enjoyable and fun. Unfortunately, there's a line there which a lot of people can't recognise, and it seems like the players, the people that have idle hands, and they say idle hands are the devil's playthings, with an enormous amount of money and an enormous amount of spare time, find themselves getting attracted to gambling because what else are they going to do? That's their mindset, and there probably needs to be more education around the dangers of it, and maybe that's the answer. Maybe the AFL can counterbalance the promotion of Bet Easy and Bet365 with some gambling education during their shows that they run during the footy telecast.
The last thing I'll say on it is, yeah, so I kind of agree. It is good. It can be harmless. It can be just a bit of fun. And it's the right for them to advertise. Except then I think you also have to factor in the power of advertising is just huge. Like, it's so, I reckon, subconscious. You don't think about it. But then that's the power of advertising. And so it's almost not a choice, I reckon. It gets to a point where it's not a choice. You're going to go have a soft drink. You're going to grab a Coca-Cola. It's not, who knows if it's better than RC Cola, but you're not going to go to the shopping centre.
Well, I can tell you it's way better than RC Cola. That's what my dad used to buy.
Yeah, it's cheaper. No, I don't even know if it is cheaper. But, you know, it's the power of advertising. It's subconscious, you know. Yeah. And, yeah.
Well, I guess at the same time, when you watch these gambling ads that pop on during the footy, who are the people promoting or fronting the ads? Who do you remember who's...
Yeah, generic. Oh, the players?
Yeah,
so if the ex-players. Yeah, absolutely.
It's like a Nathan Brown
or
a Campbell Brown or someone like that. They're typically the people... Yeah, the Brown boys. They're the guys that I see a lot promoting gambling. In rugby league, it's a guy called Joel Kane who used to play footy as well. So it's sort of biting the hand that feeds you in a little way. If you're going to cut down on gambling, one great example, and maybe this will be my final point as well, the NBA do everything so well from a sports fan's point of view. They're extremely strict on how you can promote, signage you can have around the courts. You can't have stickers all over the court like you see on AFL footy shirts. You know, the coaches' shirts, they've got six different sponsors all over. The NBA market their product so well that it is a very conservative marketplace. Players can't wear whatever they want. They can't wear silly headbands or different socks. Their jerseys are basically untouched, which you don't see in some of the sports in Australia, and their courts are pristine. They also have billionaires who are feeding the game and paying the players and the coaches and things like that. So it's a different world over there. We don't have the billionaires backing the clubs in AFL land. But it's just, yeah, I agree. It's one that I don't know. I can firmly sit here and say, for the Monday Rumble, I don't know where I sit.
Yeah. Well, I think, and there's only two of us in here today, so we don't have a mediator to give us a winner, which we like to do on the Monday Rumble. So we're going to have to leave it to you to let us know what do you think and who do you think's the winner of this week's Monday Rumble. But aside from that, it's goodbye and we'll catch you again next week.
Hooroo.